Most of the time we don't hear too much about from the pulpits today, and that's the word repent. Repent. And I can assure you that I need to repent. Well, I thought you mean lost people need to repent to be saved. Yeah, well, they do. Because Jesus Christ says, without repentance, and I'm fixing to read this verse of scriptures, without repentance, he says, you're going to perish. But not just the lost people. I want you to understand the saved people need to repent also. And I need to repent. And this scripture fixed to tell us exactly what to do. There's a lot going around today and in our minds that we think about repentance. Now, repentance is more than conviction, although you have to have conviction to repent. But after you have conviction, and that's by the Holy Spirit of God, but also repentance is more than confession. Saying, I have sinned. So we have conviction and we have confession and contrition. That means a broken heart over our sins. But you could have all three of these and still not repent. Still not repent, because repentance means conviction plus confession plus concentration, which is a broken heart, faith toward Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you about this in just a moment. Wrestle with this a good bit, because I said I need to repent. Now, that's something a Baptist preacher needs to repent. Well, I tell you, Sunday school teachers, y'all need to repent too. And your deacons, y'all need to repent. And every one of us needs to repent. Did I get all of you? Because Jesus Christ did. Listen to what he said in these verses of scriptures. In Luke chapter 13, and he said this twice in the first five verses. Luke chapter 13, verses 1 through 5, and Jesus says it twice. Verse 1, it says, there were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said unto them, suppose you that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I'll tell you nay or no. But except ye repent, you shall all likewise perish. Are those 18 whose that towel of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwell in Jerusalem? Jesus said, I tell you no. But except ye repent, you shall all likewise perish. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we want to thank you for the power of the word of God from your lips. Father, some words, Lord, that we don't like, and some words, Lord, we don't take into our heart as we should. But Father, we know that you meant, Lord, what you said when you said that we should repent. And Father, help us to understand truly what repentance is, and godly repentance. Not worldly sorrow, as some have today, but godly repentance. Because without repentance, you tell us, Lord, there will be no heaven without you repent. And Father, we want to thank you and praise you, O God, for who that you are and what you're doing in our lives. And we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and amen and amen. As I said, repent is just kind of like a religious joke today when you hear about repentance. But Jesus Christ says, except ye all. Now, Brother Marsh is going to help me preach this morning, because when he reads this word, he says, except you repent, some of you, many of you. It says all of us. Thank you, Brother Marshall. That's what it says, is it not? You know what that does? That gets me. I don't think Jesus left anybody else when he says all, does he? Every one of us. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Even the good people, they got to repent. The bad people's got to repent. The ugly people's got to repent. The young and the old, the educated and the uneducated, the black and the white. It says all. I really got that, Marshall. Thank you all. Because it hit me so much. Because a lot of times we're thinking, well, I wish that person were here to hear this sermon. They need to do this or they need to do that. But I tell you, the sermon is not for those who's not here. The sermon is for us that's here today. Now, the Word of God said that my word will not come back void, but accomplish what I sent it out to do. And even though they're not here today, I'm going to tell you, they're coming under the power of God's word, whether they're here or not. Because it said it will not come back, it will accomplish what I sent it out to do, will not come back void, whether they're here or not. But you today, God is talking to you, and God is certainly talking to me. Because the blood of Jesus Christ cannot cure the first sin, cannot cleanse the first sin, and cannot cancel the first sin if we refuse to repent. If we refuse to repent. Without repentance, there are no heaven. Without repentance, there are no heaven. You say, well, I believe in God, and I come to church, and they so-and-so come to church occasionally. And I do this, and I give this, and I help people, and I do good. And I think I'm a good person. And you say, without repentance, I'm going to hell. I didn't say that, but Jesus Christ did. He says, all. Now, you see, if you think you're a good person, you hadn't ever repented, you're not going to heaven. And you say, well, I don't understand that. Well, let me tell you. You know, a counterfeit $100 bill can do a lot of good before it's recognized. You know, a counterfeit $100 bill might buy groceries for somebody that needs groceries. It might buy some medicine if somebody needs some medicine. Or it might even help somebody that's going into the mission field. But one of these days, it's going to circulate and go by the bank where there'll be experts. And then that counterfeit $100 bill will be caught. And you know what they'll do with it? They will destroy that $100 bill. No matter how much good that $100 bill has ever done, it will be destroyed. And I tell you, you know how good you think that you are? How much good did you think you have ever done or ever will do? Jesus Christ says, without repentance, you shall perish. You shall perish. Never repent, and you'll never be saved. Although repentance is nearly 1,000 times in the Old Testament and New Testament, over 960-something times, I believe, that the word repentance used. But people have not repented. Lots of church members, you know, they want the experience forgiveness, and I'm talking to all. They want the experience of forgiveness without repentance. Like a little boy got dressed up to church, his mama says, go out and play, but don't get dirty. You know why that happened? Out in the mud he went, come back in, mama, I got muddy. She said, well, go in there, get your clothes off, get in the bathtub, get cleaned up and change your clothes, get ready to go to church. He said, no. She said, what do you mean, no? He says, I don't want to be clean, I just want to be forgiven. You know what? That hits me, and that hits you. We don't want to live a holy life. We just want to be forgiven. Jesus Christ, except you all repent, you shall likewise perish. We have to repent. Forgiveness, what little time I was in the army, they taught us to about face. You stand, you take an about face, you turn around and you go in this direction. That is about face. And that is what the word repentance means, about face. I know that a lot of us have drove down dead end streets before. You ever drove down a dead-end street, and you know how you got out of that when you got down and go as far as you can go and you couldn't go no further? You know what you had to do? You had to turn around and come back out the same way that you went in. You had to make a about face. Repentance. Turn around and go in the opposite direction when you hit this dead-end street. Now, all of us have been born on a dead-end road called sin, every one of us. The only way back is God's road called repentance. Repentance. And like I said, it's more than conviction, it's more than confession, and it's more than contrition, a broken heart. Most of us has been in Eckerd's drugstores. I don't know if he still owns them or not, but his name was Jack Eckerd that had these drugstores. At one time, he had 1,500 drugstores. And the man accepted Jesus Christ and got saved. In this drugstore, they had these Playboy magazines and other magazines. He says, take them out. Every one of them. We'll not sell another one of these magazines. And I said at that time he had over 1,500 drugstores. And all of his managers said, hey, we make a lot of profit off of these things. He said, take them out. They will not be sold in these drugstores or my stores any longer. I don't know about today. But you know what he done? He got saved and he repented and he turned about face. That's what repentance is all about. Now there's two groups of people that I read here in these verses of scriptures. One group of people, you know, that died because of the hands of old Pilate. Now, they was a sacrifice, and he killed them all on their sacrifices, and they all died that he killed. And then there was that Tower of Siloam that fell on them, and they died that way. Well, at that time, people thought maybe if this tragedy happened unto them, that they it was all the worst sinners they was. But Jesus Christ says, no, they're not the worst sinners. Don't think they're the worst sinners. And a lot of times we point our fingers at other people and we get to thinking, now if I said, now that old sorry so-and-so sinner, now sometimes you'd have somebody's name or somebody would come into your mind about that so-and-so and that hard-down sinner, whatever. He said, no, don't think that they're sinners above anybody else, because he says all have to repent. And they thought maybe because something happened to them, you see, they was a worse sinner. Jesus says, no. Even the sickness and the problem. A lot of times people say, well, they sorry thing. They're going through problems. They're going through sickness, calamities. Boy, I tell you, they must be real terrible towards God. That do not mean one way or other. Now, I tell you, if you're living, I tell you, and everything is all right and fine, and you think you're doing good, don't think you have within favor with God also, because it don't make no difference. He said, all needs to repent. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Now, repentance has been dropped, like I said, from our modern-day language. You don't hear too much about repentance today, do you? Well, I tell you, this really got me. You know what? It's been dropped from most of the pulpits across our land today, especially our Mr. TV. You don't hear very much about repentance, because we don't like to hear that word, repentance. You know, the first sermon that Jesus Christ preached, you know what? He preached on repentance. In Matthew 4:17, it says, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John the Baptist came preaching repentance. Preaching repentance. In the first sermon Jesus preached, he preached repentance, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And you know the last message that Jesus Christ preached to the churches? It was not the Great Commission. It was a book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 3:19, and it says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. The last message from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to the church age that you and I are living, it says, repent. The first sermon he ever preached, he said, repent. Jesus Christ says, we all need to repent. We all shall repent. Now, many people, they are not interested in repentance. Like I said, we want to be forgiven, but we don't want to be cleansed. Without repentance, we cannot be cleaned. You know, 1 John 1:9, confess our sin. That is confessing them. We got to confess our sin. We got to repent. But I tell you this day, there are people in hell more interested in repentance than maybe someone sitting on the pews of this church right now. There's people in hell more interesting in repentance than maybe someone here today. Do you remember Luke chapter 16, the rich man and Lazarus? It says, you know, both of them died. You know, and Lazarus was carried by Abraham's bosom, the angel of Abraham's bosom, and the rich man lifted up his eyes in hell in torment. And he begged for a drop of water to cool his tongue. He was in such terrible, terrible place, at a place called hell. You know, that was not granted to him. But it says in Luke chapter 16:30, and it said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. He was interested in his brothers. Send somebody back and tell my brothers not to come to this awful place. This man was in hell, burning, just begging for just one drop of water for his tongue in torment, but he was interested in repentance. Too late for him to repent, but he had brothers back. He says, send someone back that they may repent, because when they don't repent, they're coming to the same place that I am, is what he was saying. Repent. A change of mind that leads to a change of heart. Much today, it seemed like repentance today. But we say now we look upon our nation and our nation needs to repent. Yes, it does. Washington, D.C., it needs to repent. Yes. White House, it needs to repent. Church House needs to repent. Your family needs to repent. But Jesus Christ is talking to you, not about the nation, not about the church, not even about your family. Jesus Christ is talking to you personally. He says, all, personally. Look at this. Repentance. Repentance is more than conviction. Without conviction, you cannot be saved. Without conviction, you know, you will never be sorry for your sins without conviction. You don't decide that you're going to come down and accept Jesus Christ. It has to be by the Holy Spirit of God convicts you of your sin. If you've never been convicted of your sin, you certainly cannot be saved. But just because you're convicted of your sins don't mean that you're saved because you're convicted of your sins. Because repent's more than conviction. And I got a man's name named Old Phoenix. Now you see his heritage of conviction. Now he was a governor. He was a rich man. He was a leader. He was a politician. And he says, look who I am. And Paul there was preaching to him and preaching to him, and the word of God and the power of God was convicting O Phoenix's heart and convicting his old heart and convicting his heart. And then you see, he brought him right up to the edge. And then Acts chapter 24 and verse 25 says, and as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Phoenix trembled. He trembled of the power of God on his life. He trembled, he says, and answered, go thy way, for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee again. The Bible never says he ever had that convenient time. Even though he trembled in his heart of the convicting sin that he had, as many as comes in a church today and they tremble of the power of God on their life and people praying for them all around them, and they have conviction that they need to do what God calls them to do. But as they, like old Phoenix did, I'll go and I'll come back another convenient day. And he never returned. There was never a convenient day. How many people may be in hell has heard the power of the preaching of the word of God, and many of them may be from this own church, and they said a more convenient day when I decide I'll get right and get myself right, then I'll get older, then I'll start living for the Lord, some more convenient day. And that day never comes, because you have nothing in your heart to cause you to ever want to be saved. Nothing. Nothing in your heart ever calls you to want to be saved. It's when the convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God convicts you that you need to repent of your sin. But we find a man here, that's what he done, but he did not carry on. He trembled with it. The power of God. He knew what he needed to do. But you see, when I have more convenient season, the Bible said it never says he found this season. So many times you look, you know, for convenient season. People come under conviction. So much that they want to do, but they say, you know what, and they get to thinking, I don't have time for all this, and they go back and they don't repent. And their number of their heartbeat gets less every time. And it gets closer, that heartbeat will never beat again. But they tremble at their sins, and they know exactly what they need to do, and they duck old Phoenix. I'll come back a more convenient day. And they turn around, and every beat of that heart gets closer and closer to the day of death. And I was going to come. I intended to come. I had good intention of coming. I wanted to come, but more convenient time I will. He was under conviction, but that man did not get saved. Just because you see somebody unconviction, it don't mean they're saved. No matter what you see out of them, they're not saved just because they come under. It means more convictions. And we see no time. People here today, under conviction, they say, well, the lost needs to. Yes, they do. But I'll tell you, the saved needs also to be convicted. But you see, repentance is more than conviction, but repentance is more than confession. Now, I'm fixing to read you these people here in the Bible. And every one of them said, I have sinned. I have sinned. Pilate, you know, Phoenix said, you know what? I'm under conviction. I tremble. But you see, confession. Pharaoh said, I have sinned. Balaam said, I have sinned. I'm going to tell you, Saul said, I have sinned. I have sinned. Achan said, I have sinned. I have sinned. I have sinned. Just because you confess sin, there's still more than confession. Conviction, confession, but there's still more, as the Bible tells us now. And we have the example here of these confessions of their sin. Pharaoh, he had this horrible confession. You know the story about old Pharaoh. He had the children of Israel there in bondage. Now they stayed there for 400 years, and they got time that God wanted to deliver them. And he sent Moses and Aaron to deliver the people of the great power of God. He sent 10 plagues to Pharaoh. Y'all know those 10 plagues he sent. The last plague was a plague of death. But before all this time, we find out he sent this plague here now, of fire and hail and rain, thunder and storm. And I tell you, old Pharaoh, he took it as long as he could. All that hail coming down, the fire coming down, he just took it as long as he could. And he said, "Hey, I can't stand this anymore. Send for Moses to stop this rain, stop this hail. I can't stand it any longer of this plague." And it says, Exodus chapter 9 and 27. And Pharaoh said, called Moses and Aaron and said unto them, "I have sinned." Confession. "The Lord is right, and I and my people are wicked. I have sinned." That is a confession. Just because people say that I've sinned, come under conviction, under confession, that I have sinned. Many people says this with their mouth. But you know what? In that same chapter, verse 34, what it says, whenever God stopped the rain, got all right, it says, verse 34, "And when Pharaoh saw the rain and the hail and the thunder were ceased, he sinned yet more and hardened his heart, he and all of his servants." You know, that's just a horrible confession, because Pharaoh, such a horrible confession, he says, "You know, I have sinned." You know why that tells me a lot of people does that today? Get somebody to go into the hospital. You get a little hurting right here. You get some pain right here. Maybe you have a stroke, heart attack. Maybe your child's sick, lost your job, problems in the family. Oh, God, I've sinned, I've sinned. Many times I've talked to people, went to the hospital to see them. And you know what? They just humble as they can be. "I've sinned." They're going to be, now boy, and I tell, they have told me, "Buddy, when I get out of church, you won't have to worry about me. I'll be committed, I'll be there." And a lot of times I never even seen them. They won't come back. Like old Pharaoh there. Times was bad, but just as soon as things got better, you know what happened? You don't see them anymore. You don't see them anymore. Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail had stopped, and you know what? He sinned even more and hardened his heart. Because repentance born in the storm dies in the calm. Just as soon as people gets okay, just as soon as things get your job back, just as soon as everything gets okay, who do you think gets the short end of the deal? God. God. The more that he gives us, the less we serve him. God gets the less end of it. Pharaoh says, you know, repentance, repentance. Now, you see, out of the hospital, family's okay. Then we don't have time to come on Wednesday night, Sunday night. We don't have time to tithe or whatever it is, because, you see, we've made a holy vow to God, as he did, you know, made promises as he went into the hospital. Vow of commitment. Repentance is more, you see, than conviction, because Pharaoh said, "I have sinned." And even though we admit it, although we have conviction, and you know we have confession that we have sin, but we don't carry through with it. You see, it's more than that. It's more than that. Then I give you another man, old Balaam. Y'all remember old Balaam? He was no hypocrite. He had a hypocritical confession, as many, many people make today. Now, you know old Balaam, he was a very religious man. He was a politician for gain, you know, that's, you know the story. But you see, old Balak, he's a king now of the Moabite people. And you know, the nation of Israel was fixing to go through their land. And the king of Moab, he sent there to get somebody, put a curse on the nation of Israel because they have whipped the Amorites. And I'm going to tell you, they was kind of scared of him. So old Balak, they found old Balak now. You see, he was a prophet and he was out for hire. And he says, you know, go get him and tell him, you know, to put a curse on God's people. So they went and got old Balaam, you know, and he said, I want you to curse God's people. He said, well, I don't know if I can do that or not. I'll check out. I'll go ask God. And God says, no, you can't do that. He went back and told old king, says, God said, I can't do that. He said, well, I'll double your salary. I'll give you twice as much money. He said, well, I'll go back and see if God don't change his mind. So he went back and asked God a second time. And God says, no, you can't do this. He said, well, I'll go back and find tell the king. The king said, well, he said, I'll give you 10 times that. Now, it's not exactly all what it is in the Bible. That's pretty close to what it is now. He says, now, I'll give you 10 times that. He said, well, I'll go one more time, and I'll see if God hadn't changed his mind about cursing the people of Israel. He's in it for hire. But you see, God already told him no. And this is when his donkey is riding back on his donkey, and his donkey began to talk. And the donkey made more sense than old Balaam did himself, didn't he? A talking donkey. Now, we find out that he couldn't curse them. And what it says in number 22 is the only way back. In Numbers 22 and verse 34 said, and Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord was there with a sword, if you come any closer, I'm fixing to kill you. But he didn't see him. But the donkey seen him. And a donkey just kind of backed up out of the way. He didn't want to go towards that sword with that angel had in his hand. He kind of backed out of the way. And old Balaam got mad at his donkey until the Lord opened his eyes. And then he saw the angel with that sword draw back. And this is what he said. Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned. He made a confession. For I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again. He said, I'll go back the other way if you just let me go. But he says, I have sinned. Now it was hypocritical weakness of his part. A hypocritical there, a confession. But you see, there's too many people today, you know, they're too coward, you know, to serve God, and they're too weak to serve God. Like old Balaam was. And then old Saul, old King Saul, remember the first king of Israel? Now, he was kind of a half-hearted confession, I call it. Because, you see, he was a pretty strong man at that time. But in 1 Samuel 15, they went to war, King Saul did. And they whipped a bunch of people and took over a town. And God says, now, all these sheep and all these ox and all these animals, you don't keep anything for yourself. You destroy every one of them. Well, old King got to thinking, they made some money in this, right? All those animals there want me to slay them? Saul said, no, God says, you know, that you got to slay all of them. But now God began to hear the lowing of the oxen and the cattle and the sheep. So he sent his prophet, Samuel. What have you done, Saul? Well, I was going to keep this for myself, you know. I was going to keep all this because, you know, we was going to offer them for sacrifice. And old Samuel pointed his finger at him. Here's what he said in 15:24. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy word, because I have feared the people and obeyed their voice and not obeyed your voice. People have caused you to do a lot of things. I have sinned and obeyed the voice of the people. His confession of sin was more like an alibi or either an excuse. Because verse 35 says in that same chapter, and Samuel came no more to Saul until the day of his death. You know, it was just an alibi, just an excuse. You know what? God sent his son to die on the cross. But the blood of Jesus Christ cannot cleanse one alibi or one excuse. Did you know a lot of people have excuses for not being here this morning? And they have an alibi for what they do or they don't do? But God's blood, his son, will never clean, not the first alibi or the first excuse. You all shall repent. Just as plain on the words of God's pages. You see, this blame and excuse game been going on for years, you know, life of mankind in the Garden of Eden. You know that Eve, she took that forbidden fruit. Why'd she do that? Why did Adam do that? Well, Adam, to start with, told God, you know, it's that woman you give me. It's always a wife's fault, you know that, don't you? And then, you know what she said? That old snake made me do it, and he didn't have a leg to stand on, did he? Always accusing somebody else. Excuses is what it was, an alibi. And we're all full of them. Don't think we don't. If people's not here this morning, you can go ask them why. I guarantee you they come up with a dozen excuses why they're not here this morning. God can't forgive an excuse. Blood won't cleanse that, or an alibi. You see, we don't accept. Today, the day that we're living, we will not accept responsibility for sin because it's our society. It's our environment that we're living in. Are they running with the wrong crowd? You see this young man on television, I don't know, he's a rich man out somewhere or another, got drunk and he killed four people and they got him up, you know, on a trial. And his defense is that he was raised in a rich home. Y'all see on the news, he was raised in a rich home and they weren't told right from wrong. God can't cleanse that. That's not confessing your sin. That's an alibi. Confess is just telling the truth. You know, a man went to court, and a judge says, where's your lawyer at? He says, well, I don't need one. He said, why don't you need a lawyer? He said, because I intend to tell the truth. You know, that's what God's asking for us this morning. Whew, boy, he really preached this to me. Saul had this half-hearted confession. Now, look at old Achan now. He had a hedged-in confession. Now, you know, a lot of times we'll confess, we get hedged in, get hammered in. Y'all know the story of Achan when Joshua crossed the Jordan River and the first they took was that great, great city. walls of Jericho falling down, they took that city. He said, now you don't take any spoils of this city, nothing. Everything's of God. But there was a man named Noachan, and he took a garment, some gold and some silver, and he went and hid it in under his bed in his tent. And then the next little town was Ai, and they went up against old Ai, and they were going to whip this little old town, because they whipped this big old town of Jericho, and we whipped the little old small town. And I'm going to tell you, Ai whipped the socks off of them and killed a bunch of them. They were running back home with their shirt tail between their legs, and old Joshua fell on the face, went to begging out for the Lord and praying. He said, what in the world, Joshua? Get up off your face. They sent in the camp. He marched all the whole nation, tribe by tribe, family by family, by old Joshua. And God says, that's the man, Oaken. Oaken, that's the man. And it says in Joshua 7:20, and Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thou, thus have I done. I done it. He confessed. I have sinned. I have sinned. And then it says in verse 25, and Joshua said, why have thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and buried them and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And it says in that chapter that even his daughters and his sons were stoned to death with him. Fathers, let me tell you something. Don't think because of what you do that your family won't have to pay for it. Now, they won't pay for your sin, but they'll pay for your problems that you cause. Mothers, fathers, families. You don't serve God like you should. You don't worship like you should. And you think you're going to get by with it. God's going to take it all. No, sometimes, you know, it spills over on all the family. They burnt his sons and his daughters. Stoned them to death for what daddy had done. What I do in private is my own personal business. Is it? Is it? That's what Oaken said. It's my private. I hid it in my house. It's my own personal business. He looked this way. He looked this way. He looked this way. But he didn't look up. He said, I have sinned. God said, he that covers his sins shall not prosper, but he whosoever confesses, forsakes them, shall have mercy. But you see, repentance is more than just conviction, and it's more than just confession, because you see, and even it's more than contrition, it's more than just a broken heart, because we have a man here named Judas, a hopeless now. He could have, but he didn't. Matthew chapter 7, y'all know the story as I move on, Matthew chapter 7, 3 and 4. You know, as it said, Judas. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, Jesus, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, and saying, I have sinned. And then I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is this to us? See thou to it. See, he had a worldly repentance, but not a godly repentance. And he went out and he hung himself. He hung himself. Many people today, they may cry over tears. And you see, even in their heart might be broken. And you see, they come. They come down to the altar. And they come and the preacher prays for them. And the tears are in their eyes. And oh, Lord, oh, Lord, and oh, Lord. But I tell you, if they don't make a change, if they don't do about face, conviction, confession, contrition, all that is not repentance unless they make a about face and go in the opposite direction of their sins. Repentance, as you think about it, means more than all these things. A change of mind, a change of heart leads to a change of action and a change of direction. And many, many people today, that's the reason we see that. Acts chapter 20 and 1 says, testify both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repent towards God of faith, towards our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 1:9 says, for they themselves show us what manner of entering we have into you, and how ye turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. You see, repentance and faith is the same coin. Repentance and faith is the same coin. Ezekiel 14:6 says, therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, repent, and then turn yourself from your idols and turn away from your faith from all your abominations. Repentance, not only just a broken heart over your sins, it's a broken heart from your sins. You see, a homosexual may be broken over the sin of homosexual, but if they stay in that sin, they're not broken from that sin. They may have this conviction, they may have the confession, and you see, they may have contrition, but they don't turn from that sin towards God. That's not repentance. A lot of things today that we think repentance is. Repentance is not something that you once did back when you first got saved. It is something that you do continuously. I repent more now after I have been saved than I ever did before I was saved. Y'all get that? I repent more now after I was saved than I ever did before I was saved. Because, you see, the Christian life is a life of continuous repentance. It's a continuous repentance. Luke 13:3, Jesus said, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Because, you see, why should we repent? Well, it's command of God. In Acts 17:30 says, in the time of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent. And then because it's a cure from sin and a curse from sin, Isaiah 57:20 says, but the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast the mire and the dirt, because there's no peace. Condition also of grace to repent. If you have not repented today of your sins, you see, Jesus Christ died in vain if you refuse to repent today. You're here today and you're lost, and you refuse to repent, that blood was shed in vain for you. Because repent is about face. A lot of people in here have probably rode these big giant airplanes, these 747s. I don't know what the names of all of them are, these giant airplanes. And I was reading as them things begin to touch down. You know, I tell you, they must have some good tires on them, because you see the smoke boiling and they go in, I don't know how many hundred miles an hour when they touch down. And I tell you, well, he must have to really match the brakes on that thing to stop that thing. And much as that thing weighs fast as it's going several hundred miles an hour, then I was reading, you see, but the brakes don't stop that plane. They cannot stop that plane because it would run off the runway if all they had to stop it was the brakes on that plane. You know how they stop that plane? They have to throw those engines in reverse. If without that, they would slide off that runway into destruction. And every one of us today, I'm telling you, we need to repent, because you see, we're moving down. We was born moving down this fast road into a place called hell. Moving fast. And I tell you, our brakes will not stop it. There's only one way to stop it, and that is to make an about face with repentance to Jesus Christ. Because if I don't, you're going to slide off the road. I don't care how good a daddy you think you are, how good a wife or a mother that you think you are. God says if you don't repent, he's talking to you, and he's talking to me. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish, because we're traveling such fast speed that we're going down that road of hell, and we don't reverse those engines and make an about face. I'm going to tell you, we're going to run off that road to a place called hell. And you're going to destroy everything that goes with you. It's repent. And just remember, there's never been a person good enough that don't need to repent. And there's another person bad enough that can't repent. Because God said all. Every person sitting in here this hour, everybody that you know, everybody that's ever been born, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. I hope that you're willing to repent today. As we come to the song of invitation, I know that I need to repent. And a lot of us, we want forgiveness without repentance, and it don't work that way, God said.